The special favor of Allah, Holy Allah. The universe is the body and its soul, Holy Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'audu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabi Allah wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Nurallah. MashaAllah, viewers of Madinah Channel, welcome to Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. And yes, what is this program about? Well, in this series of programs, we try to look at the rich heritage of Islam. Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed us with the deen of Islam, and within the deen of Islam we have so many pious people in our past, so many pious people to look at, so many pious personalities, and so we need to learn from their lives. You know, they need to be our role models, they need to be the people that we look up to, they need to be the people that we forward. And inshallah, during this program we try to look into the lives of the people of the past, they learn something from yesterday so we can make a change today, so we can have a better tomorrow. And inshallah, today we're going to talk about great personality of Islam, a personality that we've heard of. We've heard the name, we've heard about him. Well, when I say we've heard about him, we know, I think nearly every Muslim will know something about this personality. They'll know something about this person, but I think it's incumbent upon us that we know more about this personality, that he becomes one of our role models, one of our people to look up to, one of the people that we follow and aspire to be like. You know, I remember that once there was a teacher, and a teacher said to the children, "What do you all want to be when you grow up?" And one of the children said, "I want to be a pilot. I want to be a truck driver. I want to be a bus driver. I want to be a doctor. I want to go to the army." And one child said, "Miss, I want to be a Sahaba." And the teacher looked at the child and said, "You want to become a Sahabi? You want to become a companion of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" And the teacher asked the child, and the child said, "Yes, that's what I want to become. I want to become a Sahabi. I want to become a companion of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." And the teacher said, "Do you know that you cannot become a companion of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" And the student said, "Yes, I know that, but I want to be like them. I want to be like them." And when the parent asked the child, "That why is it that you want to be a Sahabi? Why is it you want to be like the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" And the child replied that every day my mother, before I go to sleep, she reads me a story of the life of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you know, when I read that, I thought to myself that what a different household that will be. The household in which children are aspiring to be like the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that household in which children are aspiring to be doctors, lawyers, barristers. Again, I'm not saying it's haram to be like this, but just think what the difference in them two households will be, how different the aspirations of them children will be, what they're looking up to, what the role models in society will be. That child will have a role model of a doctor, of a lawyer, of a barrister, of a truck driver, an airplane pilot. But this one, Allah, Allah, Allahu Akbar. And when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Follow this, my companions are like stars, follow them and you will never ever go astray." And today, inshallah, we're going to talk about a famous companion of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But before we begin, I like, before the beginning of every program and the majority of the programs that you see on Madri Channel, we'd like to give you a blessing of reciting salawat durud pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the reason why we do this, the intention behind it, is that you become aware of the blessings. As a result of becoming aware of the blessings, you start acting upon this and start becoming habitual in reciting durud pak. You remember these blessings, you pass these blessings on to others, so that other people can also become habitual and you can also get the reward as well. Today's blessing that we're going to give you is that the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever wishes that Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased with him when he is presented in his court, he should recite Salat in abundance. Now, the pious predecessors have put a figure on this. They said that if you want to be amongst those people that are counted amongst those that when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in abundance, then you need to recite Durud-e-Pak at least 313 times a day. And that 313 times a day relates is a nisbah of the people that were in the battle of Badr. There was 313 against the thousands of the non-Muslims in that battle. And so if you recite Durood e Pak 313 times a day, then inshallah azawajal, you'll be counted amongst those people that recite salawat, recite Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in abundance. Now the companion that we're going to talk about today, I'll tell you a little bit about him from. Let me see, I've got a little bit of write-up here about him. We're going to talk about none other than Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. And Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, who was he? He was the cousin of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was also the son-in-law of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was married to Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anhu, and he was also the father of Sayyidina Imam Hassan and Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu. And he was the fourth Khalifa of Islam. He accepted Islam at the age of 10 years of age, and his father named him Ali. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him the title Asadullah, which means the Lion of Allah. And Sayyidina Ali attained martyrdom on the 21st of Ramadan. And in today's program, inshallah, we're going to learn a little bit about his life. And I'm hoping that when we learn a little bit about his life, his characteristics, his habits, the way he lived his life, I want us to try and think to ourselves that if we know that these were great personalities, great leaders of Islam, great personalities of Islam, people that were guaranteed paradise during the lifetime of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then surely there must be something in them. And without a doubt there is. There's things in them that if we try to aspire them, then inshallah we can also be amongst those fortunate people that can enter paradise without accountability. It's narrated that one day, during the reign as the Khalifa, the fourth Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he went to the marketplace. So picture the scene, he's the Amir al-Mu'mineen. He's now the Khalifa now. He's the leader of the believers. He's the leader of the Muslims. And he went to the marketplace. And there he saw a woman crying. And he said to the woman, "Why are you crying?" And she said that, "I'm a slave. And I purchased some dates for my master. And I purchased it from such and such shopkeeper. However, when I went home, the dates, when my master looked at the dates, he wasn't happy with them. And he told me to take them back. And now that I've brought them back, the shopkeeper is not willing to take the dates back. And this has caused me to be in this state that I'm upset and I'm crying and I'm in a state of anxiety." Now, Sayyidina Hazrat Ali, he interceded on behalf of this slave girl. And he went to the shopkeeper and he said to the shopkeeper, "Accept the dates and return this poor slave girl's dirhams. She is a slave and she cannot exercise her own will." Now, before we go a little bit further here, Sayyidina Hazrat Ali, he was a very humble person. And he didn't have like a large security entourage with him. You know, he comes into the marketplace and he's got 10 people on this side, 10 people on this side, 10 people in front and 10 people. He came on his own. He was on his own moving amongst the marketplace. He didn't have any protocol. He didn't have an entourage with him either there. And he came to the marketplace like a normal person. And therefore, the day seller did not recognize him. And when Sayyidina Ali radiallahu intervened on behalf of the slave girl, the shopkeeper actually pushed him. And the shopkeeper actually pushed him away. And some of the people in the marketplace who knew who Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu was, they said to the shopkeeper, "Do you know what you've just done? Do you know who you've just pushed?" And he replied, "Oh, no, no, what are you talking about? Who is this person?" And when the people said to him that this person that you've just pushed, he is the leader of the believers, Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. Allahu Akbar. Now that person, he became worried because now he'd pushed the leader of the believers, he pushed the Amir al-Mu'mineen. And he quickly went to Sayyidina Hazrat Ali, helped him. He accepted the dates from the slave girl, gave the dates, the money back that she had purchased them from. And then he came to Sayyidina Hazrat Ali and he said, "Please, you know, please respect yourself. I wish that I want you to become pleased with me. Please tell me something that I can do that will make you pleased with me." Yeah. Sayyidina Hazrat Ali, he responded that if you want to please me, then fulfill the rights of people properly. Fulfill the rights of people properly. Now, there is so much that we can learn from this. There's so much to work. First of all, look at the humility, the humbleness of Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. Despite being the leader of the faithful, the Khalifa of the Muslims, he came to the marketplace on his own as a normal person. without any protocol, without any security, without any other. And secondly, reflect upon how the man shoved him, which was disrespectful, yet he did not punish him in return. This is the middle morning. He could have got up and said, grab hold of that person, remove his head, put him in prison. He could have done anything. But no, he didn't. No, he didn't. He didn't do any of those things. And thirdly, we also see that he, you know, defended the rights of the slave girl. He went to help the slave girl. And it said that regarding Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, that despite being the leader of the faithful, when he would visit the marketplace, if someone dropped an item, he would pick it up and give it to the person. If a person lost his way, he would give them directions. If someone was carrying a heavy load, he would help them. And these are the characteristics that we see of Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. And we ask ourselves now, that if we are in a similar situation, would we be like that? Would we have that same type of mindset? Now, you see that some people that may be considered poor or not rich, they may have this. But as soon as someone has status and someone has power, as soon as has wealth, then does he have this humility inside him? Does he have this humbleness inside him? You know, does he, all of a sudden he has this arrogance inside him? And we should never have this inside us. Instead, we should help the creation of Allah Azza wa Jalla, serve people and aid the poor people. Nowadays, people actually feel embarrassed to carry out their own task, let alone helping others. When we see people, you know, now because I've got everything, why should I carry? I don't need to carry anything. I've got people to carry things for me. I get people to bring things for me. I don't need to do these things. And everybody all of a sudden is like a boss, a leader. But again, we see that the pious people of the past, they would carry out their own tasks. Did the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam not help the household? Did the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam not help the household? Yes, he did. If they think it's wrong, he's going to get some water for himself. What is this? This is not an Islamic mentality that you are the king of the house, that you shouldn't be doing anything. No. That you are the king, that you should not be doing any of your own chores. No, this is not the Muslim mentality. This is not what our pious predecessors taught us. Our pious predecessors taught us that they helped in the household, they helped the family members in the household. They helped with the chores. Yes, obviously, when they were out doing their own work, then obviously then at that time, but this is what they weren't like so high and mighty themselves that I can't even get a glass of water myself. And we see that now in our culture. And I say culture, I'm not saying our deen, this is not our deen. This is our culture that this has crept into. That people are now so proud of themselves. Yeah, so proud of themselves that I won't do this. And they show off.
Yeah.
They show off and say, well, you know what? I've got time to go and get a glass of water. My family members get me a glass of water. I've got time to do this. I've got time. I'm too busy. I've got my phone. I've got these messages to answer. I've got this to do. I've got time to make myself a cup of coffee or make myself a cup of tea. And they're showing and telling people that this is what they are. This is not being humble. And sometimes we need to learn from others. I remember working in a company. And in this company, it was one of the biggest companies in the UK that was owned by a single person. A lot of companies, the big companies, they're on the stock exchange and they've got shares in them and people. And this was one of the biggest companies that was owned by an individual. And I remember what happened was that during the winter holidays, they issued a report. And in that report, it said that the managing director, the owner of the company, the director of the company, had this year taken out an £18 million bonus. £18 million bonus. And I'm going back and I'm thinking, maybe 15, 20, 20 years, maybe 20 years ago. Yeah? And what happens here is, traditionally, you know, we're in the office started about 8:30, 8:45. About 10 o'clock, people have a cup of tea. And in the afternoon, people have a cup of tea about 2, half 30, and they have the lunch. What happens is we make our own tea. And this is, again, in some cultures, this is alien, that you make your own tea. You know, you've got the people that go and make, you know, we make our own tea. And what happens is you, because in English tea, you have the hot water, you have the tea bag, they have the sugar, the milk. And we'd go into the kitchen, and we'd have our mug, and we'd get the tea bag in, and then we'd put the hot water, and then we'd put some sugar in, and we'd put some milk in. It'd be like a little conveyor belt system, a queue system. And I remember once being in the queue, and that person, I'm going to mention his name, who'd taken an £18 million bonus, he came in, and he joined the queue. And someone looked at him and said, you know what? Just because you got an £18 million bonus doesn't mean you can jump the queue. They said, no, I'm not going to jump the queue. I'm not going to jump the queue. And so we see that people today have this inside. And why have we not got it? Why have we lost it? Our deen taught us this. Our pious predecessors taught us this. The companions of the Prophet of Allah taught us this. The Prophet of Allah taught us that we have lost it.
And then we wonder why we're facing the problems that we're facing. Why we've not got any happiness in our household. Why is it when we come home and our wives run to the kitchen to get out of the way, our children scupper up to the bedrooms because they're scared of being with the father. Because we're so harsh and stern with them that they're scared of us. People are scared of meeting us. People are scared of coming to see us. People are scared of talking to us because we're going to rebuttal them. We're going to tell them off. And why are you speaking to me like that? Don't you dare come and speak to me. Go and see him. Who are you? What is this? Have this humbleness inside us. And this is just one example. This is just one example. There's probably in each companion, probably hundreds, maybe thousands of examples. And we learn from this example that Sayyidina Hazrat Ali, he said to the date seller that if you want to please me, if you want to please me, then fulfill the rights of people properly. This is a message for all of us. If you want to please Sayyidina Hazrat Ali, if you want to be amongst those people that love and respect Sayyidina Hazrat Ali, then fulfill the rights of people properly. And it is understood from this that fulfilling the rights of people is a virtuous and an important act. We should all strive to fulfill the rights of people. Parents and siblings have rights too. Islam has given rights to our neighbors, friends, the people of our locality, shopkeepers, consumers, everybody. We must all fulfill the rights. What happens is we remember our rights, that I've got a right. He should do this for me. He should do this for me. He should do this for my children, my parents. But we all remember the rights that we have. But we don't remember the responsibilities that we have. We know what rights I have over them, over them, over them, over them. But what about your responsibilities to them, to them, to them? What about them responsibilities? This is a two-way street. It's not a one-way street. You have to fulfill their rights and they have to fulfill your rights. Not that they have to fulfill your rights and you're going to sit high and mighty. No, we have to fulfill the rights of people as well. Sayyidina Imam Muhammad Al-Ghazali rahmatullah has mentioned the rights of people in detail in the second volume of Iyaulum. And if we read this book, then inshallah we will acquire a lot of knowledge of information concerning this matter and form the mindset to fulfill the rights of people properly. A whole volume has been written on how to fulfill the rights of this. In fact, books have been written. Books have been written about this. Of how we should fulfill the rights of people. And this rights of people is not just those people in your house. You know, not just your spouse, your children, your parents, your grandchildren, your siblings, your neighbors, your colleagues, your shopkeeper, the people that you buy with, the people that you sell to, the people that you trade with, everybody that you meet and associate with, they all have rights over you. Muslims have rights over you. Muslims have rights over you. You need to fulfill their rights as well. But we need to become aware of them. And to become aware of them, we need to have that knowledge. And we've said it many times on Madani Channel that we know how to fill in a visa application form. We know how to fill in a passport application form. We know how to fill in a claims form. We know how to get income support, credit support, what are all these tax allowances, whatever. I don't know what they all are. All of these things. We know how to do all these things. We've researched this. We've spent time finding out, asking people. How do I do this? How can I get this? How can I? And we ask all these questions. When do we sit down and ask, what are my rights to my parents? What are my rights that I need to, what are my responsibilities to my parents, responsibility to my children, responsibility to my spouse, responsibility to my neighbors? Why do we not find this out? You know, and you cannot, and you know, people have this thing that, you know what, on the day of judgment, what will happen is if I'm questioned, I'll say, well, I didn't know. I didn't know. Ignorance is not bliss. People say ignorance is bliss. People say that if I say I don't know, then I can get away with it. No, no, no. It's not as simple as that. And I'll prove it to you. You try driving on the motorway at 100 miles an hour, and when the police stop you, and they say, do you realize you were speeding? You say, I'm sorry, I didn't know. No? What, speed limit 70? Sorry, I didn't know the speed limit was 70. No, no, I didn't know the speed limit was 70. Do you think they're going to let you go? That you say, well, I'm sorry, I didn't know the speed limit was 70. I'm traveling home. I'm sorry, I didn't know. You're still going to get booked. Ignorance isn't bliss. People say, oh, ignorance is bliss. Ignorance isn't bliss. It is obligatory upon us to have this knowledge, to know what the rights that we have to fulfill of others, to know what Sharia tells us how to fulfill the rights of others. Not only the rights, but also other things. Our obligatory acts, our salah, our wuzu, our ghusl, our namaz, all of these things to make sure we have that knowledge. You cannot on the day of judgment say, well, I didn't know. And if you think you can get away with it then try and get away with it here first, that I didn't know. That by going 100 miles an hour, I'm not going to get booked. You will get booked. If the police stop you, you will get booked. I'd love you to try it. Try say it to the policeman. I didn't know. and see what happens. You get your license taken off you. But you didn't know. You didn't know the laws of this land and you're driving. Remove your license. Strip the license off you. But when it comes to other things, when it comes to the deen of Salah, oh, I didn't know. That doesn't work. We're going to take a small break now, inshallah. We're going to go to a small package, inshallah. When we come back, we'll continue with the topic of the day. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Dear viewers of Madni Channel, Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Lion of Allah, was born in Makkatul Mukarramah. Zadahallahu sharfan wa ta'zeema. His mother, Sayyidatuna Fatima binte Asad radiallahu ta'ala anha, named him after his father's name, Hadar, whereas his father named him Ali. Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam granted him the title of Asadullah apart from these titles, Murtaza, that is chosen, Karar, that is one striking back repeatedly, Sher-e-Khuda, that is the Lion of Allah, and Mawla Mushkil Kusha are his famous appellations, that is titles. Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu is a paternal cousin of the most noble Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The kunya of the fourth caliph of Islam, Sayyiduna Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, is Abul Hasan and Abu Turab. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu is a son of the Holy Prophet's paternal uncle Abu Talib. After 30 years of Amul Fil, when the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was 30 years old, Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was born inside the Holy Kaaba on Friday, the 13th of Rajab. The name of his mother is Sayyidatuna Fatima binte Asad radiallahu ta'ala anha. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu was only 10 years old when he came into the fold of Islam. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu was raised in the household of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu remained active in supporting the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and promoting the religion of Islam throughout his life. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu had a distinguished reputation because of being amongst the muhajirin awwaleen and the ashra mubashara and possessed many other remarkable attributes. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu took part with exceptional bravery in the battles of Badr, Uhud and Khandak and a great many renowned and brave warriors of unbelievers, kuffar, were hurled into hell through valiant strikes of his unique sword named Zulfiqar. After the martyrdom of Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyiduna Usman-e-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Ansar and Muhajireen pledged the bay, submission and pledge of allegiance to Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu and elected him as the Amirul Mu'mineen, commander and leader of the believers, who held the office of Khilafat for 4 years, 8 months and 9 days. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. Allahu Akbar. Today we're talking about Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, and there are many, many hadiths praising Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, his characteristics, his qualities, his attributes. And I'm going to relate a few with you now as well. It states that Sayyidina Abdullah bin Masood radiallahu anhu narrates that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to look, Allah, listen to this, he used to look at the face of Ali. Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu, he used to look at his face as a worship. Looking at his face, Allah Akbar. This status was exclusive to Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu. To look at his face was a form of worship. None of the companions had this status, only Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu had this. It was exclusive to him. It was the practice of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu to gaze, just look at the face. He used to just look at the face of Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. And one day his daughter, the mother of the believers, Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anhu, she said, "Dear father, I've observed that when you see Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, you gaze at him and then you leave. What is the reason for this? Why is it that you look at him? Yeah.
before you leave, you look at him. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu replied, "Oh my daughter, I heard the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, indeed, looking at the face of Ali radiallahu anhu is an act of worship." Looking at his face is an act of worship. This act of worship was carried out by the companions and the fortunate tabi'een. You know, these are those fortunate people that had these blessings. How can we get these blessings? How can we be blessed with beholding the vision of Sayyidina Hazrat Ali in our dream? You know, fortunate people that have that vision of him and are unable to see him in the dreams. And if you can see Sayyidina Hazrat Ali, is a form of worship that you have seen him. Allahu Akbar. We're going to take a small break now. We're going to go to a kalam of the day. Inshallah, when we come back, we're going to continue with this topic. We've got another hadith and then some things that we can try and learn and act upon as well. Let's go to the kalam of the day. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
شیر محمد کے افتخار علی ہے کائنات ولایت کے تاجدار علی خدا کے شیر محمد کے افتخار علی ہے کائنات ولایت کے تاجدار علی 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 جناب زہرا کے خاوند نامدار علی جناب زہرا کے خاوند نامدار علی جناب زہرا کے خاوند نامدار علی حسن حسین کے بابا عزی وقار علی حسن حسین کے بابا عزی وقار علی خدا کے شیر محمد کے افتخار علی ہے کائنات ولایت کے تاجدار علی 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 محبت شہ کونین کا مدار علی محبت شہ کونین کا مدار علی محبت شہ کونین کا مدار علی ہماری روح کی ایمان کی پکار علی ہماری روح کی ایمان کی پکار علی خدا کے شیر محمد کی افتخار علی ہے کائنات ولایت کے تاجدار علی 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 یہ مرتبہ ہے تمہارا با اختصار علی یہ مرتبہ ہے تمہارا با اختصار علی یہ مرتبہ ہے تمہارا با اختصار علی خدا کی تم ہو تمہارا ہے کردگار علی خدا کی تم ہو تمہارا ہے کردگار علی خدا کے شیر محمد کے افتخار علی ہے کائنات ولایت کے تاجدار علی علی علی
Ali, 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 Ali.
Nagam karo sar mahshar tumein Ali walo. Nagam karo sar mahshar tumein Ali walo. Nagam karo sar mahshar tumein Ali walo. Karenge beeda tumhara bhi aake paar Ali. Karenge beeda tumhara bhi aake paar Ali.
Khuda ke sher Muhammad ke iftihar Ali. Hai kainat vilayat ke taajbaar Ali. Ali
Ali Ali Ali Ali Ali Ali Ali Ali Ali Ali.
Machal raha hai mera dil ziyarat e dar ko. Machal raha hai mera dil ziyarat e dar ko. Machal raha hai mera dil ziyarat e dar ko. Dikhaiye kabhi apna mujhe dayar Ali. Dikhaiye kabhi apna mujhe dayar Ali.
Khuda ke sher Muhammad ke iftikhar Ali. Hai kainat vilayat ke taajdar Ali. Ali
Ali Ali Ali Ali Ali Ali Ali Ali Ali.
Mahak rahe hai abhi tak mere huroof-e sukhan. Mahak rahe hai abhi tak mere huroof-e sukhan. Mahak rahe hai abhi tak mere huroof-e sukhan. Zabaan se nikla tha arfak bas ek baar Ali. Zabaan se nikla tha arfak bas ek baar Ali.
Khuda ke sher Muhammad ke iftikhar Ali. Hai kainat vilayat ke taajdar Ali.
Ali
Ali
Ali Ali Ali Ali Ali Ali Ali Ali Ali.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, viewers of Mother Child, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. And we are looking into the past, looking at our pious predecessors, looking at the rich heritage that we have in our pious predecessors. And today we're talking about the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the greatest companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, none other than Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. And we mentioned a few hadiths before that, and we mentioned about his character, that how humble he was and how helpful he was and how kind he was. And we also mentioned the fact that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that to look, just to look at him was a form of worship, and this was exclusive to this particular companion of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In a hadith of Sayyid Muslim narrated by Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu himself, he said, "By the one who splits the seed, I brings forth a tree from a seed, and he created the soul. Indeed, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has promised me that none except a believer will love me, and none except a hypocrite will love him." Allahu Akbar. We see, all viewers of Madinah, all lovers of the companions, all lovers of the Ahl al-Bayt, it is evident from this hadith that love for Sayyidina Hazrat Ali Radul is a sign of faith. It is a sign of faith, and hatred for him is a sign of hypocrisy. Alama Ibn Hajar Rahmatullah has narrated that it was a practice of the noble companions to determine a faith or a hypocrisy by the hatred of Sayyidina Hazrat Ali Radul. Whenever they saw someone who had any animosity towards Sayyidina Hazrat Ali Radul, they would know that this person was a hypocrite. That this person was a hypocrite. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah grant us the true love for Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. Make us amongst those fortunate people, and make our hearts have that love for him inside us. One thing that must be kept in mind here is that not every kind of love for Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radhiyallahu anhu brings salvation. Some forms of love for Sayyidina Ali radhiyallahu anhu result in a person's ruin rather than the bring about of salvation. It is mentioned in a hadith narrated by Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radhiyallahu anhu that one day the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he called me and he said, "Oh Ali radhiyallahu anhu, the example of Isa alayhi salam is in you. The Jews harbored a hatred for Isa alayhi salam to the extent that they slandered his mother. Astaghfirullah. And the Christians, they loved Isa alayhi salam to the extent of elevating him to a position which was not his." After narrating this hadith, Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radhiyallahu anhu, he said, "O people, listen. In relation to this, two types of people will be ruined. Those that go to extremes in their love for me, they will attribute to me qualities which are not in me. Those who harbor hatred to me, the hatred will lead them to slander me." Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Nimi rahmatullah narrates, with regards to this hadith, he said, "Love for Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radhiyallahu anhu is a principle of faith, but impermissible exaggeration in love is a bad thing. However, hatred for Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radhiyallahu anhu is an absolutely forbidden thing. In fact, it is sometimes kufr to go to this hatred towards Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radhiyallahu anhu." And we know from this, we come to learn that the love for Sayyidina Ali radhiyallahu anhu, which causes a person to exceed the limits of Sharia, does not bring about salvation, nor is it a sign of faith. Rather, this love leads a person towards destruction. True love of Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radhiyallahu anhu is when a person remains within the bounds of Sharia. This is the love which brings about one's salvation. And it's this love which has been declared a sign of faith. Here a question comes to mind. What is true love? What is true love for Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radhiyallahu anhu? How do we recognize this? In relation to this, the honorable scholars have written a number of requirements and signs. And two of these we're going to mention now. In fact, we're not going to mention now. We're going to go to the final package of the day. And inshallah, when we come back, we'll mention the signs of those people who love Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radhiyallahu anhu in the correct manner. Let's go to this final package of the day. And when we come back, we'll continue with the topic of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
There are many benefits of shaking hands with another Muslim. Let's listen to some of the Madani pearls. Number one, it is a sunnah for two Muslims to greet each other with a handshake using both their hands. Number two, also make salam when you depart, and a handshake is also permissible. Number three, the most dignified Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wasallam has stated, when two Muslims greet each other with a handshake and ask about each other's well-being, then Allah sends down 100 blessings between both of them, after which 90 blessings are descended for the one who greets more cheerfully and asks about the well-being of his brother more cautiously. Number four, when two friends greet each other with a handshake and recite Salat ala Nabi upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, then their sins of the future and the past will be forgiven before they move apart. Number five, if possible, recite the following supplication also during a handshake having recited Salat ala Nabi. يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَنَا وَلَكُمْ. In other words, may Allah Azza wa Jal forgive you and me. Number six, the supplication that two Muslims make during a handshake will be answered, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, and they will be forgiven before their hands separate, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal. Number seven, to shake hands with each other eliminates enmity. Number eight, the beloved and blessed Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wasallam has stated, any Muslim who greets his brother with a handshake and they feel no envy for each other, then Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive the past sins of both of them before the hands separate. And anyone who looks at his Muslim brother out of affection and feels no envy, then his past sins of both of them will be forgiven before the sight is over. Number nine, one can shake hands no matter how many times he meets the other person. Number 10. It is not a sunnah to do handshake with only one hand, but rather sunnah is to use both the hands to do a handshake. Number 11. Some people do a handshake just by touching the fingers. This is not a sunnah as well. Number 12. It is makruh to kiss one's own hand after a handshake. Islamic brothers should abstain from kissing their own palms after a handshake. Number 13. If a handshake with an amrit or if any person breeds lust, then it is not permissible to shake hands with him. If the sight also breeds lust, then looking at him is also a sin. Number 14, the sunnah method of shaking hands is that there should be no hindrance of a handkerchief, etc. in between. Both hands should be bare and the palm of one should make contact with that of the other. My dear viewers, in order to learn thousands of sunnahs, buy the two books published by Maktabatul Madina, Bahari Shariat Part 16 and Sunnate or Adab. One effective method for learning the sunnah is to travel in the sunnah inspiring Madani Qafilas with the devotees of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability that we do handshake according to the sunnah. Ameen bijahin nabil ameen sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa barak wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today on Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow, we're talking about the companion Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. We're going to talk about how can we show that love and see the signs in showing the love for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the correct manner. The first requirement or first sign of love for Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu is that alongside having love for him, we should also have love for other companions as well. A person who claims to love Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, but also says evil things about other companions can never be a true devotee of his. Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu himself, he states, the best of people after the beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu. He then stated, love for me and hatred for Abu Bakr. Love for me and hatred for Umar cannot gather in the heart of a believer. Allahu Akbar. And it's clear from this that the one who claims to love Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu but speaks ill of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, speaks ill of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, is false in his claim, and his love for Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu is not true. Sayyidina Abu Muhammad Abdullah Muhtadi Rahmatullah ta'ala states that he said that I attained the honor of performing Hajj. I heard about an individual in the noble sanctuary who did not drink water. And I was very surprised to hear this. When I met him and asked him the reason behind this, he said that I am a resident of Al-Hilla. One night I had a dream in which I saw the bewildering scene of the Day of Judgment, and I find myself to be anxious due to the intense thirst. Somehow I managed to arrive at the blessed pool of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu were present there. They were giving people water to drink. He said, I came to Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu because I was very proud of him. I loved him a lot and I considered him superior to the other three khalifas. However, he turned his blessed face away from me. Because I was very thirsty, I repeatedly went to the three khalifas, but each of them turned their face away from me. Then my sight came to the rest upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So presenting myself in his court, I said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu did not give me water to drink. Rather, he turned away his face. The beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied that, how can he give you water? You hold enmity towards my companions. Hearing this, I became certain of the corruptness of my beliefs. And so with utmost remorse, I repented at the blessed hands of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he gave me a vessel from which I drank. Then my eyes opened. Ever since I drank the water from the hands of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I no longer ever feel thirst at all. After this dream, I encouraged my family members to repent. I maintained connections with those who repented and accepted the ways of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat and had severe ties with the rest. It is evident from this that the sign of a true Muslim is that he acknowledges the excellence of all of the companions. If a person loves some of the companions and holds enmity towards others, then that person is in a grave error. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us the true love and devotion for all of the companions and all of the Ahl Bayt. May He grant us steadfastness upon this and grant us martyrdom upon the state of devotion in the shade of the green dome. Mufti Ahmad Yarhan Naimi Rahmatullah ta'ala states that one of the signs of true love for Sayyidina
Ali radiallahu anhu is that a person emulates him in his action and he does not oppose him. The meaning of this is that a person adopts the action whoever he loves. If someone loves somebody, he tries to follow him. Therefore, the one who says he loves Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu should not act just merely by his claim, rather he should follow him in his conduct, in his character, in his speech. For example, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was an exceptional scholar, though so we should also seek Islamic knowledge. We should enroll in Jamiat al-Madina. We should become a scholar as well. We should encourage our followers to become scholars. We see from Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu how he followed the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he followed, adopted that, and how he loved the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you want to love someone, you have to follow them. You know, we claim to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we don't follow them. We claim to love the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we don't follow them. We claim to love Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, we don't follow them. We make all these claims that we love these people, we love the pious predecessors, we love Ghawsul Paak, we love Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, we love all these people. Prove it. Not just by this. Proof is not just in speech, proof is in actions. Show your love in your actions. If you want to claim to love someone, follow them. Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu had a resolve when it came to supporting the religion. Therefore, those who claim to love him should also strive to serve Islam, propagate the call to righteousness, forbid evil, and maintain high aspirations to aid the religion. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu's speech will be full of wisdom. Hence, we should avoid idle speech. Think of good and do good. This is what Sayyidina Hazrat Ali was about. Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, this is how he lived his life. He lived his life and strived for the deen of Islam. You want to show your love? Emulate him. You want to show your love? Follow him. You want to show your love? Do the actions for the state of Islam. Do this. Inshallah, you'll see a change. Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he liked to worship in the darkness of the night. In the middle of the night, he would get up and do ibadat. We should also strive to excel in ibadat, fulfill the faraid and wajibat, and alongside these, experience the pleasure of worship as well. Being a Muslim is not just 1 month in a year. Being a Muslim is not just one day in a week. Being a Muslim, a lover of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is not just one day in a year where you go on a march and claim to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Being a lover of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, lover of the companions, is not just staying up all night and praising them and for the rest of the year opposing them. No, if you want to be a lover of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you want to be a true Muslim, then this job, the job description for this, is not one day, 1 month, one night. It is 365 days, 24 hours a day, all your life. A person who loves does not deter. If we love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should follow him. We should respect him. Show that respect. Don't do anything to damage the mission that he, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has brought. I've said it before on Madani Channel that each and every one of us, we are an ambassador of Islam. You might not say, well, I cannot do anything for the sake of Islam. I not can sit here on this chair and do a speech like we've just done in the last 45 minutes. No, maybe you can't do that. But one thing I want to say, if I was to go to the whole list of the hundreds of actions that Dawat Islami takes part in, the different hundreds of job roles of all the people that are working for Dawat Islami, just Dawat Islami, the hundreds of job roles that are all serving the deen of Islam, and you were to go through all of them, and you say, I can't do this, can't, and you went through all of them, and you say, I can't do any of them. There's one thing you can do. There's one thing that you can do. You can make sure that you don't do anything to damage the image of Islam. Because what happens nowadays is when somebody performs an action, it is not Abu Bakr, it is not Zayd, it's not Ali, it's not Khalid that's done it, it's a Muslim has done it. And I remember, like I said, I used to work in office, the environment, I still do. When I'm in the office environment, and if there's a party, if they're going to the pub to have a drink, it used to be a tradition on Fridays, luckily that stopped now. But every Friday they would say to me, are you coming? I'd say no. And sometimes they would say, why not? And I say, well, I'm a Muslim, I don't drink alcohol. And they say, well, that person does, and then rattle off the names of Muslims. So each and every one of you is representing your deen of Islam. Each and every one of you is an ambassador of Islam. So on the day of Eid, when we go out and we celebrate, you are representing Islam. When you go out into the marketplace, you are representing Islam. When you have business dealings with people, you are representing Islam. People look at you. They look at you as a Muslim and think, that is this person a nice person? Is this person how he's living his life? The story I mentioned on Madri Channel, I've only got 2 minutes, I'll very, very quickly mention this. An imam moved to a new town.
He was traveling on the bus to the masjid. When he got on the bus driver gave him extra change. He came to the back of the bus. He looked at the change. He realized that he was given an extra 20 pence or 50 pence. And all of the journey inside, he was arguing with himself. Should I give it back? Should I not give it back? Should I give it back? Should I not give it back? Thinking, it's such a huge company. What difference does it make? What difference does it make? Only 50p. And he made a decision that he wasn't going to return it. And as he went to the front of the bus to get off the bus, he stopped. And he returned and he gave the money. He changed his mind and he gave the money back. And he said to the bus driver, the conductor, he said that you gave me too much money. You made a mistake. And the bus driver said, no, I didn't make a mistake. And he said, no, you give me too much. He said, no, I didn't make a mistake. I give you that money on purpose. And the reason why I give it to you on purpose, I was told that Muslims are honest people today. I was checking, I was trying to find out that are Muslims honest? And today you proved to me that Muslims are honest. And that Imam, he said, I got off the bus and before I walked to the masjid, I sat on the ground and I started crying. And I said, Ya Rab, today I nearly sold my Iman for 50p. People are looking to you, your actions. So if we claim to love Sayyidina Hazrat Ali, if we claim to love the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we claim to love the pious predecessors, the companions, then live your life like them. Not just praise them, emulate them. Not just praise them, follow them. Not just praise them, adopt their characteristics. Try to be like them. Yes, I know. You can say we can never be. I know we can never be like them. But at least we can try to follow in their footsteps. So that when people look to us, they don't see a negative image of Islam. They see a positive image of Islam. I pray to Allah that we can all maintain the positive image of Islam. We all can live our lives in such a way that when people look to us, they think that these people are good and I want to be like this. What are these people about? And that brings them closer to the faith of Islam. Viewers of the channel, you've been watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. Until the next time, keep watching Madri channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The special favor of Allah. Allah. The universe is the body and its soul. Allah.